So we're going to turn to worship the Lord now. Ask you to open your Bibles to the book of Psalms once again. The book of Psalms. We're going to be using as our call to worship and public scripture reading this morning, Psalm 104. And if you open your Bibles to Psalm 104 and you think, this looks familiar, well, just move your finger up on your page a little bit and look at the last line of Psalm 103, and you'll see that the wording there is identical. In both Psalms, David cries out at the beginning and at the end, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." And it's because of this identical language that many commentators see Psalm 104 as a companion psalm to Psalm 103. Psalm 103 praising God for his work of redemption, whereas Psalm 104 praises God for his work of creation and providence. Regarding Psalm 104, Spurgeon comments, "It is a poet's version of the creation account in Genesis." And indeed, he's right. As we read this, I trust that you'll be struck with what our confession calls the heavenliness of the matter and the majesty of the style. Psalm 104 is certainly a poetic psalm. It opens in the first four verses with David exalting the Lord for his splendor and majesty, bursting forth in praise. "Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord, my God, you are very great. You are clothed with splendor and majesty, covering yourself with light as with a garment." And the Bible tells us that the Lord dwells in unapproachable light. Indeed, that the Lord himself is light, and in him is no darkness at all. So David begins by praising God for who he is in his nature. Now, moving into the body of the psalm, David tells of God's wonderful work of creation, roughly following the creation narrative that we would see in Genesis chapter 1. Listen to some of the creation language that David uses. Verse 5, "He set the earth on its foundations so that it should never be moved." Verses 7 and 8, "At your rebuke, the waters fled. At the sound of your thunder, they took flight. The mountains rose. The valleys sank down to the place that you appointed for them." Verse 19, "He made the moon to mark the seasons. The sun knows its time for setting." Our God is the Creator God. And the earliest questions in the Children's Catechism get right to this point. Who made you? Answer, God made me. What else did God make? Answer, God made all things. David is absolutely clear on this. God, Yahweh, the Lord, he is the creator. He is the maker of all things. Verse 24, "O Lord, how manifold are your works. In wisdom, you have made them all." Again, our God is the creator God. But David not only describes God's handiwork in creation, he also praises God for his work of divine providence, God's active direction and governance of everything that he has created. Friends, God did not simply create the world and everything in it and then walk away. He has not removed itself from the operation of the world. Quite the opposite, actually. In his infinite power and wisdom, the Lord God is upholding, he is directing, he is disposing, and he is governing all creatures and all things, from the greatest of them to the least of them. Listen to this, verse 13. "From your lofty abode, you water the mountains. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of your work." Verse 21. "The young lions roar for their prey, seeking their food from God." Verse 27, "Every created thing looks to you to give them their food in due season." Saints, did you eat today? Yesterday? The day before? Then thank God. He provided that food for you in due season. But friends, not only does God create and sustain life, he alone determines how, where, and when life is ended. He determines when your life is going to end. Verse 29, "When you hide your face, they are dismayed. When you take away their breath, they die and return to their dust." So we can see that our God is not only the creator God, he is the active, sovereign director of all of his creation. God is the first cause of everything that takes place in the world. And contrary to what you'll hear from most of American evangelicalism, God is also the first cause of salvation. It's not like he's sovereign over everything else except for man's salvation. He's left that free of his sovereign control. Now, to be sure, God does command all men everywhere to repent and to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. But in doing so, again, he does not relinquish his sovereignty over all things. No man can exercise repentance or faith apart from his sovereign care. Regeneration, or being born of the Spirit of God, that is the first cause of repentance and faith, as we've been hearing about on Wednesday nights. So when we praise God for being the creator of all things, the one who gives life to all things, we should remember that he alone also gives spiritual life. And when we praise God for his divine providence, for his sovereign directing and governing of all of his creation, we should remember that it's only because he is sovereign over our souls that we can have any confidence that we will persevere until the end, that no one will be able to snatch us out of his hand, that indeed God is working all things that come to pass for the eternal good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Friends, this promise and dozens more like it in the scriptures are absolutely meaningless. They are worthless if God is not the first cause, if he is not the ultimate sovereign. So let us praise God not only for the way in which his providence governs all of creation in a general way, but saints, let us praise God for how his providence cares for his redeemed church in a particular way. Well, after extolling God for his work of creation and providence, David then enters into a closing section of praise, starting in verse 31. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his works. Again, we have to quote the Children's Catechism here. Question: why did God make you in all things? Answer: for his own glory. David's prayer is that the glory of the Lord would endure forever, that God would rejoice in his works. So friends, at the end of the day, the heavens and the earth, they exist for one reason and one reason alone, and that is for the glory of the Lord. Any theory that robs God of his glory in creation is a grievous sin against God. And obviously, this would include any theory that embraces macroevolution, but I would also submit to you that Christian theories of creation, which distort the clear teaching of Genesis chapter 1, that God created all things in six literal 24-hour days, Christian theories that try to explain this away, that try to somehow make God's word more palatable in the light of secular theories regarding the age of the earth, even these Christian theories rob God of his glory in creation. So we must be careful to give God the praise and the glory due to him for his work in creation. Again, may the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his works. Notice also in this closing section of praise, the essence of true worship. Verse 34, may my meditation be pleasing to him. When we gather for corporate worship, we rightly expect to be blessed by this gathering, don't we? We expect that the preaching of the word, the singing of the word, the reading of the word, the partaking of the supper, the fellowship of the saints, we expect all of these things to be a great blessing for our souls, and rightfully so. But ultimately, when we gather to worship the Lord, our main thought should not be, what am I going to get out of worship today? But rather, what am I going to offer to God in worship today? That's our main thought. And friends, you may be tempted to think that you have nothing of value, nothing at all that is pleasing to God that you can offer him in worship. But saints, let me remind you, in Christ, you have a mediator who descends your worship. He washes it clean. He makes it whole and acceptable in the sight of God. Because of Christ, you can worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Let me ask you a question. Is that true for you this morning? Do you have a mediator through whom your worship is made acceptable and pleasing in the sight of God? Have you turned from your sins and in faith turned to the Lord Jesus Christ? Has he washed your sins away? Is he interceding for you before the throne of grace this morning in heaven? And if he is not, then verse 34 cannot be true for you. Your worship, your meditations are not pleasing to God. Instead, they only add to your condemnation. If you are an unbeliever who has been coming to this church for even the shortest amount of time, you understand and have heard numerous times that Jesus Christ stands ready to receive you if you would only cast yourself upon him for salvation. Would to God that today be the day that you worship him in spirit and in truth for the very first time of your life. Would to God that today be the day that you can cry out with David, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, praise the Lord." And would to God that today be the day that in Christ your meditations are made pleasing and acceptable to him. Well, if you're able, please stand for the reading of God's word. Psalm 104. Hear the word of God. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord, my God, you are very great. You are clothed with splendor and majesty, covering yourself with light as with a garment, stretching out the heavens like a tent. He lays the beams of his chambers on the waters. He makes the clouds his chariot. He rides on the wings of the wind. He makes his messengers winds, his ministers a flaming fire. He set the earth on its foundations so that it should never be moved. You covered it with the deep as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains. At your rebuke, they fled. At the sound of your thunder, they took flight. The mountains rose. The valleys sank down to the place that you appointed for them. You set a boundary that they may not pass so that they may not again cover the earth. You make springs gush forth in the valleys. They flow between the hills. They give drink to every beast of the field. The wild donkeys quench their thirst. Beside them, the birds of the heavens dwell. They sing among the branches. From your lofty abode, you water the mountains. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of your work. You cause the grass to grow for the livestock and plants for man to cultivate, that he may bring forth food from the earth and wine to gladden the heart of man, oil to make his face shine, and bread to strengthen man's heart. The trees of the Lord are watered abundantly, the cedars of Lebanon that he planted. In them the birds build their nests. The stork has her home in the fir trees. The mountains are for the wild goats. The rocks are a refuge for the rock badgers. He made the moon to mark the season. The sun knows its time for setting. You make darkness, and it is night, when all the beasts of the forest creep about. The young lions roar for their prey, seeking their food from God. When the sun rises, they steal away and lie down in their dens. Man goes out to his work and to his labor until the evening. O Lord, how manifold are your works! In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. Here is the sea, great and wide, which teems with creatures innumerable, living things both small and great. There go the ships and Leviathan, which you formed to play in it. These all look to you to give them their food in due season. When you give it to them, they gather it up. When you open your hand, they are filled with good things. When you hide your face, they are dismayed. When you take their breath away, they die and return to their dust. When you send forth your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the ground. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his works, who looks on the earth and it trembles, who touches the mountains and they smoke. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have being. May my meditation be pleasing to him, for I rejoice in the Lord. Let sinners be consumed from the earth, and let the wicked be no more. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Praise the Lord. May God bless the reading of his infallible word. Let us pray. Father, we confess you are a wonderful, wonderful God. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you created all things. Your majesty is immeasurable. We cannot comprehend it. But by your grace, through faith, we can apprehend it. And it is our desire this morning, as was David's, that the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you. For, O God, we rejoice in you. Receive our worship, not because we are good or because we deserve it, but because your Son serves as a perfect mediator for his people. We pray this in his name. Amen.